This is The Rocket, Bill Wax. Welcome to Newsmakers. On the show, we have MLB.com's national writer, Richard Justice, who looks at what's going on around the world of baseball. He has a lot to go over. Enjoy the podcast.
I have one of the best baseball writers in America. His name is Richard Justice. He works for MLB.com. Richard, thank you so much for being on the show.
Hey, thank you for having me, Bill.
Richard, the Yankees finished with one of the best records in baseball this spring. And Richard, I grew up a Yankee fan. I know how Yankee fans act. You know, you're thinking, oh man, this is...
Oh, now watch that.
Yeah. And you know, I was one of them, and I say, oh man, they're going to, you know, maybe go to the World Series now. What do you think about this Yankee team?
I'm reminded when you said that, I'm reminded of when they were booing Jason Giambi when he first got there. Derek Jeter went over to him and goes, they really want to cheer you. You just got to give them a little reason. He goes, they're booing me. They're killing me. He goes, yeah, they really. But here's what I think, Bill. I think this is as exciting a time for a Yankee fan as they've had in a while, and they've had plenty of exciting times. I'm not saying this generation is up to what Bernie and Jeter and Mariano Rivera and all those guys were, but it's pretty exciting. This kid, Greg Bird, who's going to play first base, looks like a monster of a player. Gary Sanchez looks like a player. Aaron Judge looks like a player. And what was so exciting to me was watching these other guys that are coming next. James Kaprielian, the right-handed pitcher. Gleyber Torres, the young shortstop. Who am I? Clint Frazier. I'm telling you, you know, and I think, you know, the one thing I think the Yankees have understood is a couple years ago they had a thing for fans, and the guy they all wanted to meet was Greg Bird. And it told the Yankees that, A, all the social media promotion they'd done of their young players, the fans caught on. And the other thing is, Yankee fans are demanding of the $100 million free agent.
Yes.
Or the 10-year veteran. But if they're a young guy and they see the guy's busting his butt and they have a chance to get better, I think they're going to buy into this team. And as I look at the club, I think there's only going to be three 30-year-olds in the opening day lineup, Headley, Gardner, and Ellsbury, if all those guys end up in the lineup. And there's good times ahead. And I can't – by the end of this season, I think we've got a chance to see Clint Frazier. I don't think Torres will be up this year, depending on what happens with Gregorius and how quickly he's back. I think, no question, Kaprielian will be up. He's got a big-time arm. So, you know, they're still going to spend money and fill in around it. But what they've understood is we had to take a step back, and we had to get back to a core, because you don't win a championship without having a homegrown core. So if the Yankees are a stock, I'm buying big time.
Wow. I've read your column, your excellent column on Yadier Molina. He's close to his extension with the Cardinals. Got to ask you, what do you think about this? And I think it's a great move.
I think it's a great move, too. It's, you know, what I wrote was, at the end of the day, I couldn't comprehend him being in another uniform. And I think Cardinal fans couldn't comprehend him being in another uniform. Now, I mean, he's caught almost 1,600 games. He's approaching 2,000 games, and there's only been five guys have ever caught 2,000 games. So, and you know, as you know, that no position pounds on your body the way that position does.
Right.
So is it reasonable to think that there's going to be some decline? Well, that's reasonable to assume because he's 34 years old?
Right.
And also, but what I also heard was he just coming off a great World Baseball Classic, and he was really upset last year by the notion that he'd begun the long decline, and that he's looked great, his footwork's been great, and all that. Bottom line is, for a franchise that in 12 years he's been their full-time catcher, they've gone to the postseason eight times, and they've won three pennants and two World Series, and he's been at the heart of all of it. This had to get done. I mean, you know, when you say, can you justify the dollars? No, maybe you can't, but there is the Cardinals have money, and if you're going to invest it in one of your warriors.
I mean, this guy is more than just a catcher. I mean, a lot of people consider this guy a pitching coach. I mean, don't forget, too, when he first came to the major leagues, he couldn't hit. And then now
Right.
He's one of the best. He's a, what, 285 career hitter now. And talk about, he's more than just a catcher. Talk about that.
Yeah. Well, first of all, his arm, you'll pay money to see his arm. Mm-hmm. Because you go, because he's a guy, he's like, he knows his arm is good. And that snap throw to first base, you go, wait a minute, did he just do that? And he keeps everybody on edge. But the other part of that is, to me, always the mark of a great catcher is, do the pitchers trust you? Because your job is to get the pitchers in a routine where they don't have to do anything except rock and throw. Just let's get a good tempo going. They trust you. And what I see with them is Adam Wainwright trusts him and Carlos Martinez trusts him. The oldest guy, the youngest guy, they trust him. And they have lots of young pitching coming. And, you know, their second number two prospect, Carson Kelly, is a catcher who's ready for the big leagues. But when they think about going and playing and bringing young pitchers along and not having Yadi there to comfort them and guide them and scold them, they couldn't see it. He's like, you know, like it's almost like he's a surrogate manager for Mike Matheny, who is also a very good catcher himself. So I'm glad it's over with. You know, as much as you say everybody was going to be professional about it, he had an opt-out after the season. We're all human beings. He couldn't help but being distracted about it. So he always felt they were going to get it done. Right. John Mozeliak understood and Bill DeWitt, everybody understood the value of Yadier Molina. And so here we go. Let's go play. I'm excited about their team, you know, to go back to try to get back to a defense-oriented team, that'll help the pitching, and to see, you know, how that outfield of Piscotty, Grichuk, and Dexter Fowler be pretty good. I think they're going to be, I don't know if they're going to make up the 17 and a half games they finish behind the Cubs, but I think they're going to be forced to be reckoned with late in the season.
Richard, the commissioner has made a big deal about pace of play. Do you see the game improving in that regard? I mean, will we now see 2 minutes, 20 seconds in these games now? What do you think?
Well, it slipped back a little bit. And, you know, just so everybody understands, we're not talking about time of game. We're talking about pace of game. We're talking about not having the pitcher hold the ball for 40 seconds before throwing it. And I think a year from now, we're going to see dramatic differences. Because Commissioner, I don't want to speak for Commissioner Manfred, but I think he feels that the pitch clock is worth a look. And the scouts I've talked to in the minor leagues and the Arizona Fall League that have been around the pitch clock say it disappears. After a while, you don't even know it's there. And when you leave the ballpark, you go, wow, that was played at a little better pace. It's a cultural change for players who are not accustomed to it. But I think we just have to get back to having more action. Camden Yards, his 25th anniversary will be Thursday. That first game was Charlie Nagy and Rick Sutcliffe, and it was 2 hours and 2 minutes. And those boys didn't mess around. Rock and throw, rock and throw, rock and throw. And I think the game could use a little bit more of that.
Richard, what is it about baseball that you're excited, that you're looking forward to seeing this year? What is it about it? What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to the storylines, because we're in an era now where at a minimum of 25 teams see a path to the postseason. It's been this way for a couple of years. Prior, it was never like that before. So everybody has hope. So I want to see, like, are the Washington Nationals going to get over the hump? I mean, when you look at the Washington Nationals, this is just one example, that lineup is nearly perfect. I mean, you see people picking Trey Turner to be the MVP. And if they can keep Scherzer and Strasburg upright in October, they've got a chance. What are the Cubs going to be the year after? I think the Dodgers might be the best team in the National League. So, like, every team has a story. Like the Royals, for instance, this is the last roundup. This is it. I mean, they're not going to have Moustakas and Hosmer and Escobar all back next year. Mm-hmm. And this is their last chance to make a run at it. So all like that. And like on day one of spring training, Cleveland was was a perfect team, maybe the only one in the American League. And to see how they envelop Edwin Encarnacion into the lineup, what Michael Brantley's going to be in coming back from the neck and shoulder issues. So that's what I'm looking forward to every night. That, you know, there are five or six things you go, whoa, stop there. King Felix is pitching. I want to see that. You know, that's what I love about it.
Wow. You went to spring training, and, you know, you mentioned it briefly. Do you think the Cubs will repeat?
Today, because we're asked to pick, I'm picking the Indians and the Dodgers. But I love the Cubs. I love Bryant and Rizzo and Joe Maddon. I love Schwarber and Baez and those Contreras and those young guys. So, you know, you and I have been around the block a time or two, and to see the Cubs winning, after having seen the Red Sox win, it's as good as it gets. So I want to see the journey. There's no manager in baseball better than Joe Maddon at setting a tone. And they have, like, I was walking around the Cubs clubhouse yesterday, and I said to somebody, holy smoke, they don't have ball players. Like, half the team, they're rock stars.
Right.
And that's a good thing for the game.
Where are you going to start your season? And I'm sure it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I think I'm going to start my season with the Astros and the Mariners. I could do an audible at the last minute to see the Rangers and the Indians, but I'll be in Texas, Bill.
Wow, and the Astros are going to be interesting, to say the least.
Yes.
Richard, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Bill.